You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
On Saturday, at my direction, the United States successfully concluded an airstrike in Kabul, Afghanistan, that killed the emir of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri. You know, Zawahiri was bin Laden's leader. He was with him the whole time. He was his number two man, his deputy, at the time the terrorists attacked 9/11. He was deeply involved in the planning of 9/11. Now, justice has been delivered, and this terrorist leader is no more.
President Biden, speaking about the drone strike, just notifying America late last night that we carried out this attack last weekend. This is August 2nd, 2022. I'm glad to have you on board with us. We are live streaming at rumble.com right now. So you can switch to rumble.com and find Larry Connors USA in your search engine. And that'll take you to our site. You can push a button, join us live. And, of course, remember, everything is also posted later as a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com when we finish our program. So this strike that was carried out by Biden, first of all, let me praise him for doing that. I want to praise the President of the United States, Joe Biden, for allowing and giving the green light to carry out that strike against Zawahiri. As you heard him say, Zawahiri had been a instrumental point and plotter for the 9/11 attack, also the attack on our USS Cole, and numerous other attacks around the world. He was a master planner in those. So he had been overseeing Al-Qaeda since we took out the leader. Now the key point here is, and we're going to drive home on this, while I'm glad that we got him and made him pay, and we can, according to the administration, say there were no civilian casualties. They got him apparently on a porch in Afghanistan at a house that belonged to, in Kabul, that belonged to one of the Taliban leaders. Now, Taliban had promised, written down words. I don't know how they did it exactly. Maybe they wrote it in sand so it blew away. And they forgot they were not going to allow Afghanistan to become a haven for terrorists. We all knew it would. And as soon as we did that pullout, that dramatic, drastic, gut-wrenching yanking of our troops from Afghanistan, leaving behind many Afghans that we had promised we would help get them out before we left, leaving behind billions of dollars worth of equipment now in the hands of the Taliban and those terrorist groups. We supposedly were being assured, as if you could trust them, we won't allow any terrorists to set up shop here. They all rushed in. Americans aren't there. They're going to rush in. That's the whole point. Now, what they're going to try to make a big deal out of, and I'm not going to deny the what it means. They talked about leaving. Look, we don't have to have boots on the ground to carry out missions. They have what they call over-the-horizon approach. That means basically we're not there, but we know what's going on, and we can take action as they did in hitting Zawahiri, who had just turned 71 years old. He'd become the visible international symbol of the group 11 years after we killed Osama bin Laden. He's also a physician, and for a time he was Osama bin Laden's personal physician. That attack carried out after weeks of meetings between Biden, his cabinet, key advisors, and then making sure they had him at the right spot, the right time, minimal, if no, civilian casualties, and apparently that was successful. We're going to get into that in more detail. The other thing, of course, Nancy Pelosi landing in Taipei, Taiwan, late Tuesday evening. Yes, it's already at this time. It's 2:08 209 Wednesday in Taipei, Taiwan, where she is. This is the first trip in 25 years of a U.S. official, her status visiting Taiwan. Of course, China continues to saber rattle. So far, no actions, thank God. And then a little bit later, we also are going to spend a lot of time on this new Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. We're going to be joined by a member of the Heritage Foundation pointing out something that's really a part of a green radical plan they're pushing. And then also one of my guests today, Rabbi Menken, is going to talk about how physicians and doctors are being forced to carry out abortions. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is a this is a huge spending bill, a huge tax increase bill. It is very damaging to economic growth, job creation, and it hits everyone. Biden promised he wouldn't hit taxes on anyone who made less than $400,000. That's a lie. Manchin said he would never raise taxes during a recession or until the economy became, until the government became efficient. Manchin's not telling the truth about what he was going to do and how he's voting.
Wow.
And when he's on television, the five channels, all he wanted to talk about was permitting reform, which isn't in the bill.
Is not in the bill. I pointed that out to you yesterday. Those are the words of Grover Norquist. He is president of Americans for Tax Reform. And that's right. That's exactly what Manchin's trying to keep pushing through. He said, you know, we're going to be able to ease permits. What that means is if you're going to have an oil and gas drilling, you have to have a permit. It can sometimes take 2, 5, or more years, depending on the area and the restrictions and the opposition. But he said, we're going to have an easing of that. But that's not in the bill. That is supposedly part of the conversation he had privately with Chuckie Schumer as they met in the Senate somewhere in a basement where no one else could overhear and hear their conversation. And Manchin admitted, I didn't want anyone else including the conversation because I knew it would screw up the deal. And so he stood by to listen to Chuck Schumer tell him, hey, get this through and we will ease permits for oil and gas. Well, that is important to Manchin, and so is coal in West Virginia. But it's not in the bill, and I cannot stress again, he is believing what Schumer told him. Let me let you hear Manchin's response yesterday as to, you're talking about something that's not even in the bill. How do you know it's going to be honored?
We have an agreement. I have a trust there. But I can tell you, it has consequences if either one of us don't keep our bargain. So from Chuck Schumer to Nancy Pelosi to the President of the United States, we have an agreement that we are going to do permitting reforms. If that doesn't happen, I said again, on either side, if I don't keep my word and my bargain, if they don't keep theirs, there will be consequences.
There'll be consequences. But understand how this will play out. If Manchin keeps his word, he will vote and support for this Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. It is a comedy act. That has to happen first. And then once everything gets underway, then we'll see about those permits, because they're not going to be changing anything on permits in the next few days. They're hoping at this point that they can ramrod this through and have it signed into law by the end of this month, maybe September, but hopefully by the end of this month. Senator Manchin has stood in the face of Democrat colleagues challenging him, the Biden administration hitting on him because he didn't support the Build Back Better plan. He said there's too much green stuff in there. Well, they redid it now under this new Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. They cut $7 to $8 billion out of green energy plants, but don't think that that put a stop to it. We're going to get in a little bit later with a heritage expert, Katie Tubb, on how much green energy is still in there. Now, this is also trying to pull the wool over your eyes, but I know you're smarter than that. And I thought Manchin was. And in fact, I want you to hear again from one of the co-founders of Home Depot, Ken Lagone, because I guess he thought Manchin might be smarter than what happened.
I think his motive is noble and fair. I believe he's going to be tricked. Okay, that's what I'm worried about. I shouldn't say I believe. I'm worried he's going to be tricked. The revenues won't be there, and the expenses will be there, and that's going to be inflationary. That's going to be, by its very definition, inflationary.
All right.
So what are they doing? They're only putting more gas on the fire.
More gas on the fire, but they continue to deny it. They continue to deny it. But before I let you start hearing some of their denials, let me go to a question raised by Maria Bartiromo. As she had Grover Norquist, again, he's the president of the Americans for Tax Reform, asking basically a very simple and yet clear question.
If this bill becomes law, who will get taxed?
Everyone. For starters, they say this is an anti-inflation bill. They raise taxes on crude oil, which is gasoline, raise taxes on coal for energy, and for the production of natural gas. So to start with, they go in and increase the cost of energy at a time when the Biden administration and the Democrat policies have already been pushing the higher cost of energy onto the American people. And that hits everybody.
And you know, when we say tax increase, it doesn't mean a specific tax levied against you. But if it's levied against some groups, industries you rely on, that's also going to be passed on to you. It is a tax on you as well. You're smart enough to figure that out. I think most third graders could figure that out. But here we continue to be told and sold the story, and it is a story. Pull out your BS card, wave it. They continue to insist we're not raising taxes, even when it's stuck right in their face by the U.S. Congress and Committee on Taxation. Bipartisan, nonpartisan, let me put it that way, they have estimated under the Schumer-Manchin tax increase by income, if you earn under $200,000 a year, you're going to contribute something to $17 billion to this new plan. Now, if you're blessed enough to be at $200,000 to $500,000, you're still going to contribute something like $14 billion All of you that fall in that range, $14 billion of yours, will be going for that. So Peter Ducey for Fox News was talking or asking questions in the White House press conference with the White House spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, and asking if maybe with these new numbers, the numbers I just read you and the source that I gave you, that maybe that would make Biden reconsider?
President Biden thinking about pulling his support for the Inflation Reduction Act?
No.
Because he promised it wasn't going to raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year, but the Joint Committee on Taxation says that is not true.
Well, that isn't correct.
So the Joint Committee on Taxation, which you guys heralded as an effective body when you were selling that infrastructure package, is not to be trusted here.
I said it is not correct because I will give you why it's not correct, because it is incomplete.
Yeah, well, wait till it's complete. Wait till you finish this monstrosity. We may find out they are way under their estimate. She's peddling the White House line. That's her job, to go out and tell them what I want them to hear and tell it to them again and tell them I'm not wavering, I'm standing strong, and everybody else is wrong. It's like, let's be honest. If you're in a marching band and someone notices that your left foot is going forward when their right foot is going forward, who's out of step? Would that be the entire rest of the band, or would that be you? Senator Manchin, again yesterday, claiming there will be no tax increases, no raises. It will not be affecting and hurting American public. That's what they're trying to sell you. Listen.
They're wrong. It does not raise taxes. And I've said this before. I said all we did was close loopholes, if you heard. First of all, in 2017, the tax rate, corporate tax rate, was 35%. It went from 35 to 21, 14% reduction, Brett. And when that did, everyone says, oh, my goodness, this is tremendous. All we're doing is basically saying the largest corporations in America that have $1 billion of value or greater have to pay a minimum of 15% to help this great country. That's all. I don't think anyone in West Virginia thought that anyone could get by with not paying at least their 21%. So we did not raise taxes. We've closed loopholes. That's all we did. I made sure there was no tax increases in this whatsoever.
But again, there is. I'll explain closing loopholes in just a moment. But they want to claim it's not a tax increase by your income. In other words, it's not because you're in a certain bracket, we're going to raise that bracket. We all get that. But there's so many ways to tax the American people in ways that don't appear on the IRS statement. Which, by the way, what they're going to do to you regarding these new IRS agents they're going to hire, 86,000. I'm going to explain that in a moment, and you're not going to be happy with what I have to share. But anything you do to increase taxes upon corporate, be they great big corporate, smaller corporate, anything like that, this 15% tax loophole they're going to add on and close, well, who do you think ends up bearing the brunt of that? That is another tax on you. Good God. There was a survey recently of some 60 people in the Biden administration that have something to do in handling one way or the other fiscal responsibility. That'd be taxes, spending, things of this nature, and I think maybe four at the most, I think I'm exaggerating there, four at the most had at least 2 years of business, economic classes understanding. The rest of them, maybe they got picked. Maybe they got picked just like the White House spokesman did. First, as they promoted, the first black lesbian White House spokeswoman. That qualifies you. I don't know what qualifies these other people, but they don't have the experience in the economy and working with it. This loophole, again, is going to be passed on. The idea is they're going to require these companies to pay 15% minimum tax by reducing after-tax wages. They consider that a loophole. But Grover Norquist, again, the president for Americans for Tax Reform, says, here's the real story.
Then they go around and they say, well, we're going to have this 15% tax on companies that they think don't pay enough. Who is that? These are companies that take all of their earnings and reinvest it in the company. So they don't have any income because they're not earning anything. They're plowing it all back into growth and wages and building factories and so on. And they want to take a 15% cut of investment of companies that are growing. And that's a huge damage to the economy and the economic growth and to job creation.
Specifically, let me back him up on that. Those, again, the words of Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. The Federal Reserve in June, as you know, hiked interest rates again. Gas prices hit record highs. Inflation soared. Growth in consumer spending slowed down. There were 10.7 million postings for job openings on the last business day in June. Now it's even lower because many businesses have decided to back down. They're not going to hire more people. They'll make use of what they got. They'll stop their expansion. That's what that tax did. That maybe took a job away from you that you were going to get or you were going to try to get. No, it's not helping anything. We're going to have more job openings. They've gone about this totally backwards. Or as the co-founder of Home Depot said, they've thrown gasoline on a fire. Now, I told you a moment ago what they're going to do with these new IRS agents. If you're driving, you may need to pull over before you hear this. That's coming up.
Larry Connors USA.
They want to take $80 billion from taxpayers, $80 billion, and hire 87,000 more bureaucrats in the IRS. They're going into going after small businesses. The IRS itself says they're going to dramatically increase how they go after independent contractors and small businesses, not General Motors, smaller businesses. That's where they think they're going to make their money. They're putting these new people into enforcement, not answering the phones. They admit that maybe 10% of the phone calls that go in, they even pick up. They're not doing a very good job of answering people's questions when they're trying to do their taxes. They're not going to put resources into that to speak of. They're massively increasing their ability to audit you. The number of people they want to hire is larger than all of the servicemen and women who serve on aircraft carriers around the world.
That's pretty damn impressive. 87,000 new IRS agents. Now listen, you may be looking for a job and you're good at accounting and you might qualify and you might be very good and very conscientious, but you're going to follow the directions you're given and you're going to go after certain people if you're told to, even if there's nothing that's a red flag, but just, well, you know, they tend to lean conservative and the Biden administration needs to clean some of the... You think I'm joking? You do remember the rogue agents under Lois Lerner when they started shutting down all of these nonprofit groups. If they had the name Tea Party or Trump in them or conservative, they would not grant them nonprofit status. They kept delaying or denying. Maybe one out of every 30 would get through in a fairly decent time. The rest, they just kind of got put over in a circular file. You know what I mean. The other thing is, Norquist pointed out, that I took out of that bite trying to condense it some. He said they're going to hire all these people, and they got all these empty offices. They got people that don't even come into work now. Yeah, they've not. Many of them not been showing up at work at the office for weeks on end or days on end, for whatever reason, and nobody really misses them. And then if they are given cars, they might be use them for personal business on a regular basis. There's no oversight of the IRS to begin with. But here's the other issue. They are basically going to turn, the Biden administration is going to turn junkyard dogs loose on you. Grover Norquist.
They want an end of privacy for Americans, that the tax collectors are going to want to demand to know anything and everything about you. And while they're demanding that you keep records on everything, the inspectors general found that they had destroyed, the IRS, 30 million tax statements. 30 million. If you piled them on top of each other, that's 2 miles high. They've destroyed them. It's unclear how they destroyed them. They're not telling anybody. Now, they destroyed these kind of documents, but you're in trouble if you don't keep every piece of paper back forever.
Yeah. And what do you want to bet? Some of those that were destroyed, they were destroyed for political purposes. I'm just asking. I don't have any proof. But when they're creating these new tax agents, they're not going to be manning phones at offices so you can actually get a person on the phone rather than punch this record. Well, first of all, if you want English, punch this. If you want Spanish, this, you know, we go through all that. And then you end up getting, leave a message, we'll get back to you, you get put in queue, we'll, your phone call will be answered in 1 hour and 22 minutes. No, they're going to be putting them in the field to come after you. And you want another clear example of what this Build Back Better relabeled Inflation Reduction Comedy Act is causing? Those credit card prices you're paying, your credit card balances have jumped $46 billion in the second quarter compared with a year ago. Balances are up 13%. That's the largest in 20 years because people are having to use credit more often they want to. And, of course, the credit rates are going to be going up because the Fed's hiking rates. We come back. We're going to take a closer look at this Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, how it's really part of a green radical new deal. They're trying to slip it past us. We're not going to stand for that.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, as I'm calling it, some are saying, could it also be a radical Green New Deal? And to answer that and get into more detail with us is Katie Tubb with the Heritage Foundation, the Center for Energy, Climate, and Environment. Glad to have you with us, Katie.
No, thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm looking at a piece that one of your colleagues had presented for the Daily Signal, which is an arm of Heritage, and he basically said, Jack Spencer, he points out immediately that it's not going to live up to its promises. It increases the price of energy, makes us less energy secure, and will not have any impact on the climate. I'm sure you agree with those, but let's break it down. You go ahead.
Yeah, so I would say yes, yes, and yes. I agree with all of that. So this is basically the other side of the Paris Agreement coin. You know, President Biden put forth a unilateral commitment to the UN that the United States will reduce our greenhouse gas emissions 50% by the end of this decade. The other side of that coin is Congress is going to tax us to death to get there. The The bill has
wait. I'm sorry. I got to stop you. They say there's no new taxes in this. There are no new taxes.
I think we all know that that's not true. There are $370 billion worth of free money for energy companies in there. And as you said, this is the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. You look at the numbers, there is indeed tax increases for Americans making $100,000 or less, $200,000 or less. We're going to see it. So I think we can all rest assured that Congress does what it does best and spends money and then tells us we get a free lunch. So
well,
hate to break it to you.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I pointed to that. And then, of course, Peter Ducey of Fox News was asking the White House spokeswoman the same thing, that is Biden maybe really going to reconsider, because the Joint Committee on Taxation, the very one they relied on to say Build Back Better budget was going to be a good idea, says just what you pointed out, and I told the audience earlier, those who make $200,000 or less, you're going to bear $17 billion of this new plan, and those who are lucky enough to be above $200,000 and just under $500,000, you're going to pay $14 billion of the plan. And it is true that all of this stuff, senior fellow of the Tax Policy Center said, anybody pointing all this out is engaging supposedly in a gotcha kind of thing, but we all know it's standard economic practice. If you tax the companies, who ends up paying the tax increase?
The customer. Well, and I think, you know, there's a lot of other, I'll call it DC accounting in this bill. One of the gimmicks being that, oh, the subsidies, they just last for 10 years. Well, I think we all know by now that when you create a gravy stream, you create a constituency that 10 years from now will be saying, if we don't get the subsidies, you know, people are going to die, or the industry is going to die.
Yeah.
Obamacare is one of those, but it's all over the energy sector, too, when we're talking about wind and solar tax credits. Those have been extended, retroactively extended, renewed multiple times in the last 30 years now.
And the thing about it is, this also includes a $7,500 credit for you to buy a Tesla or an EV of your choice if you make $300,000 or more. And if you're going to use it,
300,000 or less.
Yeah, right. Yeah, correct me on that one. But the other point is, you have a battery you got to replace. It's going to be 7,000 or 8,000. We don't know what we're going to do about that. Now, Manchin made a big deal yesterday of saying, I made sure that we're going to do this. We're going to have these batteries. They're going to do the mining and oring here. And he also promised that, or said that I was promised that they will open up permitting for oil and gas leases faster than normal. It's not in the bill. So many are saying,
yeah,
he got duped, or what happened?
Well, it's kind of like, where do you start there? So permitting, that is exactly what Congress should be talking about. We shouldn't be talking about spending this kind of money. But you're exactly right that this promised bill that we don't know what is in it about permitting reform will happen sometime this fall, and there's no guarantee that that's actually going to go through.
Well,
so
here's the deal,
though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, here's the deal. Manchin said, I have an agreement with Chuck Schumer, just the two of them in a room. He said, I didn't want anyone else there, and he didn't even call Kirsten Sinema and tell her about it. He just made the deal with Schumer, trusting Schumer, and that Schumer said, go along with this, we'll get your permitting reduced. But like you said, first you're going to have to vote, and you put yourself on the line to support this Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. And then, like you say, maybe November next year we'll get around talking about permitting, and they may not, but your signature's already on this, and we got the bill we wanted. That's extortion.
Right. Right. I think Senator Schumer promised a vote, but that means pretty much nothing anymore. And the other piece of this is, you know, Senator Manchin really wanted a particular pipeline project to go through that's been snagged up in permitting processes. So permitting is a problem.
Right.
But the other part of Schumer's promise to Manchin was, yes, we'll get that project through. And if that was Senator Manchin's ask, this is the most expensive natural gas pipeline in United States history.
Yeah, and he couldn't add the Keystone Pipeline to it. But either way, those are just words. It's not written in the bill. It's not in the bill.
It's not.
You vote for the bill, approve it, and then we'll get back to talking about what we were discussing privately, or maybe I just forgot.
Exactly. It's really unfortunate because, you know, the American people, I think, put trust in their representatives to debate things with transparency and out on the merits, and that's not what's going on here. Starting with the fact that we're using reconciliation as a means of pushing pretty aggressive policy reform. That's not a tool that screams transparency from the get-go, let alone all of the deals we just mentioned between Manchin and Schumer, which may or may not happen. But the fact that a particular pipeline in West Virginia was the leverage point
right.
for which to spend $370 billion in energy, let alone the rest of the bill, that's, I think that would be very, or should be, very discouraging.
I call it a bribe.
Deflating for Americans.
I call it a bribe, and it may also end up being, you know, a trick on him as well. But either way, it's a bribe. Now, your colleague in the Daily Signal, Jack Spencer, pointed out, because this is going to push the carbon dioxide emission reduction 44% by 2030, and he points out this would cause an annual average job loss of 1.2 million, peak annual job losses of 7.8 million. That's an income loss of $87,000 per family of four. In other words, between their household electricity expenses going up 23% and maybe losing a job, good luck with that, America.
Right. At Heritage, we have the same energy model as the U.S. Energy Information Administration. And what Jack is referencing there is our latest study looking at President Biden's Paris Climate Agreement commitment
right.
to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 50%. And it doesn't look good. You know, the big picture is $7.7 trillion in lost GDP between now and 2040, which, as you said, is about $87,000 for a family of four in lost income. I think the important point, though, is, you know, we're supposedly doing this to impact global warming, to fight global warming. Well, if you look at the climate impact of this, it's basically zero by the end of the century to moderate global temperature. So it's incredibly expensive for environmental benefits that are pretty much non-existent.
And we're buying oil and gas from countries that do it in a dirtier fashion than we do. And coal mines
exactly.
are being reopened in Germany because they can't get the gas and supplies they need from Russia now. China is opening numerous coal mines. And, of course, West Virginia, Manchin's home territory, is big for coal as well. In the final 30 seconds, I tend to think, well, they're certainly going to try to push it through, but they were hoping they could get it through and maybe on a party line vote, have it all resolved, wrapped up, and signed in by the end of this month. Do you think that's possible?
The numbers aren't looking good, but I think
looking good for which way?
Not looking good for Americans who want affordable, reliable energy and a limited government.
Right.
But, you know, I think the message is getting across that Americans are not happy with the situation. And I can only hope that when elections come around, the message will be heard and we'll start seeing some policy changes to put decision making back into the hands of Americans.
Excellent. Katie Tubb from the Heritage Foundation, I thank you very much for joining us.
No, thanks for inviting me into the conversation.
Thank you, Katie. Coming up, the elite, they still fly around in their private jets. Taylor Swift being one of them, but she said, well, I didn't fly the plane all that time. Who cares who flew it? It's flying. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, we do know that Al Gore flies around on private jets, as does the energy czar for the Biden White House, John Kerry. And said, "Well, I have to. I have to have it so I can do the work I need to do. I can't drive the car to Europe, and I have to do that in a really quick time. I'm a very, very busy man." Taylor Swift has a jet of her own. She makes some money to make it. I have no problem with that. I wish I had that kind of money. And I'd certainly have my own jet. And, yeah, I'd be right there. But I wouldn't be making noise over you and what you drive or don't drive. But they do. That's the difference. The left is demanding that you look at electric vehicles or just learn to walk farther or buy a horse or something. So apparently, according to some of the marketing agency had put out information about cutting-edge data on celebrities with the worst private jet CO2 emissions. And according to that research, her private jet flew 170 times with an average of 80 minutes within 1 year. Average time, 80 minutes in the year. In one case, she made a trip from Missouri to Nashville, 36 minutes. Well, it does beat driving from, say, St. Louis to Nashville. But then there are critics continue to go after her on that, but then those coming to her defense saying, "Hey, well, she loans it out to other people sometimes. She's not always on it." Does that mean that if I have a big gas guzzler machine that you think I should get rid of, but I let other people use it sometime, that I can't be held responsible for it? See, the leftists, the elite, those who want to tell you what you should do, do as I say, not what I do, they think you should just follow what their orders are. As usual, the jet, if it's flying, is still emitting CO2, and one of the biggest celebrity polluters of the year so far would be her jet, whether or not she's on it. Even Vanity Fair noted, quote, "Just because no one was on board, that doesn't negate the environmental toll of these flights." Some even on the left are beginning to realize, I don't think we can sell that very well. It's not going over, nor is it going over with continually having open borders. A report from Notices Telemundo Investa details how border crossers and illegals are released into American communities, often arriving with nothing. One 15-year-old border crosser said, "I don't have a dollar to live on. Don't even have a dollar." And another 70-year-old was waiting in line at a homeless shelter, hoping he would be able to get a pair of underwear and a hot shower. This hit home the other day, and I'll have to admit, I still don't know what I should or should not have done. I'm getting ready to pull off the interstate, and there's a large intersection, and it splits lanes, and there I see two children, ages 4, maybe up to 6 or 7, sitting on a blanket. It's a hot day, but they're under the shade of the overpass that went over above them. And two women with them, and one man. The man's holding up a sign. I didn't even bother reading it. I know what he's looking for. And I'm thinking, at that point, I don't know if they're here legally or illegally, but your heart, if you have any humanity, goes out to the kids. I mean, they don't have any choice. They, if they're here illegally, they got drug here. They didn't decide, let's go sit on a concrete slab in America and hope somebody will give us something. And I thought, you know, maybe I should come back by with some food and water. And I was going to a grocery store, and on the way out, I left some items with a group outside that's collecting donations for Americans that need help in this community. And then I'm driving back home, and I thought, I forgot to pick up something for them. I need to get something I'd pick up that they could handle and eat without having to use fork and knife and so forth. I got there, one of the women had left, maybe go somewhere to get a restroom break, but the two kids are still there. And they do have some water. And then as I drove past, I noticed the stashes of bags filled with various items around the corner. Now, I don't know if that belonged to them or not, but it appeared to have a lot of things that might contain food and or drink. So I don't know if that's some of what they collected or what it was. If they're here illegally, the adults put those kids in that situation. But still, your heart has to break for those kids if they think this is our life. This is the great America. We have legal immigration. And many Hispanic heritage are going Republican because they know this is using their people as pawns and they don't like it. Good for them. Coming up in the next segment, Nancy Pelosi arrives in Taiwan. So far, no missiles fired at her. So far. Join us on the other side of the news. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.